some good advice is when you do not know what to do, wait. Just wait. That's hard to do, you know. It's simple. It's really simple advice, but it's hard to do. It's like this quote that Richard Hendricks had in our worship folder. Second only to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher and trainer in godliness, maturity, and genuine spirituality most of us will ever encounter. And that's hard. Suffering is hard, and waiting is hard. But God wants the best for us. God wants, desires the best for us. And because He knows that the only way to get the best is for us to be patient and wait, then He tells us. He tells us to wait. Imagine the book of Acts. Imagine the whole book of Acts, the spread of the church without the baptizing power of the Holy Spirit. Just try to imagine that. What if some of the people who are there said, okay, we've been here for 10 days now. I'm getting tired. I mean, sick and tired of these walls. I mean, we've been here waiting for 10 days. I'm rebreathing the air that 120 people have been rebreathing all this time. It's getting stuck in here. Come on. Let's go do something. Let's get the show on the road. You know, what if some people have gotten tired and left before the wait was finished? And that's important to think about. What would we give up? If we gave up, what would we be giving up if we gave up waiting on the Lord and waiting for His help, His healing, the hope that He wants to instill by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? But He asks us this. He asks us to wait. And sometimes we must wait in times of pain. In the midst of pain, we're waiting for the pain to be relieved. There's physical pain that we have to deal with. The physical pain of disease or accident. You know, you trip and hurt yourself and fall. Or degeneration. I think most of us know as we get older, right? Things start hurting in places that we didn't hurt before. And you know what? Sometimes it doesn't go away. But when we wait on the Holy Spirit, we anticipate something. We're anticipating healing is what we're anticipating. We want Him to heal us. We want to be relieved. But sometimes we want to get well so badly that we'll walk on a knee that needs more rest, needs more time. And we'll go walk on it and make it worse and start swelling up again. Or we'll get out of bed too early and try to go do something, but I gotta keep that appointment. I mean, they're bringing a special person there and I've gotta see them at the meal. I'll go out today. But we're getting over the flu. And then the next day you end up back in bed again. Have you ever done that? I have done that. And chronic disease is even worse. You ever hear the doctor when you're talking about a chronic disease problem or a chronic health problem? The doctor doesn't come in and give you these encouraging words. In a little while, you're going to feel like new. Have you ever heard a doctor say that about chronic illness? In just a little while, you're going to, unless they're a really big liar. No. And you know, doctors know they're not supposed to tell you that kind of thing. That's not professional. And then there's emotional pain. You have to wait sometimes for the pain of grief and separation, you know, to be healed. And that's a hard one. You know, saying goodbye is part of grieving, but it doesn't take the pain of grieving away. You know, at a memorial service, it's a time of remembrance. And we say goodbye at a memorial service, but we still go home with memories, you know, and there's pain with that. Time, we've said this before, time does not heal all wounds, but God heals all wounds, and sometimes it takes time for that healing process to be performed. And then there's relational pain, and conflicts and bitternesses that can be in our lives about people. You know, separation is not always by death. Sometimes there are people that are closely related, like family members or relatives, that can be at odds with one another. And they can treat each other like strangers, actually. And that is painful. And the pain of that sometimes goes on. And the hurt, especially if someone's hurt us, why, that can cause a bitterness to take root in our lives and for it to last a lifetime until God, or unless God, sends his healing. And that is the anticipation. Because Jesus came to this planet to heal. He came to this planet with a healing ministry, and it was meant to touch us physically and emotionally and relationally. He brought that healing power with him. But even our Lord, Jesus Christ, had to wait on the power. Like we have to wait on the power, the help, the healing, the hope. In Luke, this is a fascinating verse that really tells you a lot about Jesus and his humanity. Luke 5:17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Didn't you imagine that wherever Jesus went, he brought the power with him? You would think that, wouldn't you? But Jesus had placed himself totally at the disposal of his Father. And he wanted to be in his Father's perfect will, and he would wait upon his Father's first move. And when he sensed the power of the Holy Spirit was there for him to heal, he stepped right into that power, and he began to heal. And how does that relate to us? Well, I don't know if we're going to have the kind of healing ministry. Some people seem to have that kind of healing ministry in their lives, and we read stories about them and books about them and their healing ministry. But it's not usually going to be any of us. I mean, it could be. I'm not ruling that out. And then many times we need to sense the power of the Holy Spirit and step into it. But what this means specifically about us is that we are waiting on Jesus. We need to wait upon Jesus for the healing. Jesus is a healer. He wants to touch us. And we need to wait upon him for the power of healing that he has for us. Now, sometimes we must wait in the midst of our work. And there's so much to do and so little time, right? Help, Lord! That's what I was looking at when I was looking at my room. And let me tell you something. As I go back into my office today to try to debrief from today and get ready for the next church bulletin and all that kind of stuff, I'm still dealing with this stuff. I have a few things clean, and I realize how much I've got to do and how little time I have to do it in. Wow. And you know, this place, Escaton Village, I don't know any place that is busier than this place. I have never seen one or heard about a retirement. You wouldn't imagine that retirement community, I mean, could have so many things on its schedule that you could never go to every meeting and never do everything here. It's amazing, isn't it? Do you have a time for your own life? No. not if you really follow everything in the community and we're on every thing that everybody wants you to come to and read everything that they want and every kind of project, all the activities, you couldn't do it. Unless you're super, as we were saying, super dude or super dudette. Maybe we have some super dudettes in here. But it's a busy place. And always there's some stuff that doesn't get done. Now, if we just pruned down to the real priorities, I mean, the stuff that is only essential would be left. Everything else would be pruned away that is unnecessary activity. There still doesn't seem to be enough time to get it all done. And the Lord told his disciples, the Lord said, this is the essential work. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. But then he said this, before you go, wait. 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 But if it's a big job, like he says, I mean, look, you're not going into all the world. I mean, here we were just running around the Philaria Galilee, and now you want us to go into all the world. Like, that's a big job. We better start getting on right away. No. Wait. The command was to wait. Well, we better get started planning some things out. Let's have a brainstorming session. I mean, this is a big task, so we need everybody's input on this. So let's get together with the committee, and let's start brainstorming and get some ideas. We'll get one of those whiteboards, and let's just fill it up with ideas on how we're going to do this job. No. The command is to wait. The command is to wait. Okay. I've been here for 10 days. And you know, to be heavenly minded is no earthly good. Come on. I know, we've been praying and everything like that, but let's get the show on the road. No. No. The command is to wait. I like John Milton sometimes. Milton, first of all, is an older writer of poetry, but he was so eloquent in his poetry that sometimes hard to read him. But one of the poems, or I guess it's almost like a sonnet that he wrote, was about himself. It was more autobiographical. It's called On His Blindness, or someone has entitled it that, On His Blindness. And at the end of the poem, this is what he said, and I'm going to read this slow because it is tough to read, and it does rhyme, but the way he wrote it, you don't see that it rhyme. God doth not need either man's works or his own gifts. Who best bear his mild yoke, they serve him best. His state is kingly, thousands at his bidding speed, and post o'er land and ocean with rest. They also serve who only stand and wait. And he saw himself that way, not able to get around and do a lot of things because of his blindness, but they also serve who only stand and wait. Young people are encouraged. Carpe diem, seize the day. And I've even preached on sometimes like that. You got to seize the opportunity. That's true when God is giving the opportunity. But many times our hands are so full of seizing so many things that at the end of the day, we're only chasing wind. And that's what a lot of young people do. At the end of their time of chasing wind, that's what they find. They tried to seize the day, and they've realized, I'm just chasing after the wind. But if they had waited, the wind would have borne them up, and they would have been carried by the wind. You are familiar with this passage, and it speaks to the elderly population even more than to young people, because this is what young people often are doing. But listen, Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The command is to wait. And sometimes we must wait when we're in the midst of the unknown. You know, every one of us are dealing with that. Because, you know, the future is unknown. Oh, we can sort of predict a few things. But a lot of times our predictions don't come true. The future is an unknown, and we all have to deal with it. And many times we have to wait to see what will happen. We have God's promises, and God promises something in the midst of our waiting on the future to see what will happen. He promises us hope. That's His promise. You know, Jesus told us about the future, but the majority of the time He was talking about the future. If you read the New Testament, He was talking about bad things that are going to happen. Did you know that? I mean, read the Gospel, and you will see that Jesus, when He was trying to tell people about the future, He was telling them about the bad things that were going to happen to them, or going to come down on this planet, on this earth. And yet, He was saying, I want you to have the abundant life now, not just in the future. I want you to have the abundant life now and in the future. Even though these bad things are going to happen, here's what He said. Life is hard, but God is good. In John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus wants us to know that the reality of this world is that there's going to be trouble in it. And you already know that. You've experienced a lot of it. But he also wants us to know that it's not in the world that we will have the peace. It is in me that you might in me have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. You know, Christians aren't the only ones who know that the world is a place of trouble. I mean, everybody knows that this is part and parcel of the human condition. But Christians have hope in the midst of this dangerous, precarious world. We do. We have hope. And that hope is centered in Jesus, whom the Holy Spirit exalts in our lives. We talk about salvation, but salvation would not even be a concept to talk about if this world wasn't the way it is, a world that is a dangerous place, a world that is a precarious place to live in. And worldly people may say to us, because of this hope of salvation, they may say, oh, you're just living in a dream. But we can turn around to them, because we know they also live in this world. We can turn around to them and say, you, by neglecting this hope of salvation, are living in denial. You need this just as much as we do. You're living in this world too, and this is a place where there is trouble, where there is problems, where there is situations we need help with. And hope is not just something we conjure up. Hope is not just something, if I can just concentrate, if I can do my breathing right, if I can do my exercises right, I will finally get that hope and I will have peace. Not saying that deep breathing and exercises aren't good for your body and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to bring the hope you need in the midst of the trials of this life. And it's also, hope is not just putting a good face on a bad world. You know, I'm hoping so, and just looking at the bad situation, trying to be optimistic. No, it is a supernatural infusion of grace that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 15:13, this is a beautiful scripture that talks about one of the aspects, probably one of the more important aspects of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit may not bring us healing. That may not be within God's plan. And even that the power of the Holy Spirit may not accomplish or help us to accomplish all of the good things we wanted to do for the kingdom of God. That may not be in the Lord's plan. But in the midst of pain, and in the midst of our work that we have to do in our undone jobs, we can have the overflowing hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, these disciples and us, we have the same commission as them, were called to evangelize. They were called to share the good news. They were called to go into all the world. And I know that with evangelism, often there comes healing. Some people who get saved also get healed at the same time, sometimes. We hear stories like that. And evangelism is definitely a work that needs the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you that this thing about hope, in the midst of a world where there's a lot of unknowns, in the midst of a world where we don't quite know what will happen next, in the midst of that world, this is a high priority in sharing the gospel. People need hope. People in a world where there's a lot of despair, people need hope. It's central. It is a central need of the human heart. And any other kind of hope is an I hope so hope. But hope that is based on the power of the Holy Spirit is an I know so, because it is real. It is centered in the reality of God. God wants the best for us, and it only comes for those who wait. Abundant life is not living a perfect life in a perfect world. That's not what abundant living is. But it's going through life with a in an imperfect world with a perfect Savior. And He is given to us, and His Spirit is infused in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can go through life, hopefully, many times with healing, and many times with a lot of help in the work that we have to do. And so, it is this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we're celebrating. We are not just welcome to the church, a place where the Holy Spirit is descending, we hope, but welcome Holy Spirit. We want to welcome the Holy Spirit to descend upon us, to be outpoured on us, not just at this season, but daily and all year long. Let's pray. Father God, many times we don't understand why we have to wait, and many times we get anxious, and sometimes we get impatient, and sometimes we even complain to you in prayer, just as David in the Psalms did. And Lord, you accept that from us. You're very tolerant of you're very patient with our impatience. But Lord, we want to wait upon you. We want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we know that takes waiting sometimes. We need your healing in many aspects of our lives. We need your help in the undone tasks of life. But especially we need your hope, as we have many things that face us that are unknown, and perhaps things that will be hard to go through. We have these hopes that we'll get through them okay. That is not just enough. We need a know-so kind of hope, an expectation kind of hope that comes from the Holy Spirit. Lord God, infuse us with the power of Pentecost. Infuse us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us. Help us to live lives, Lord, that are pleasing to you in this imperfect world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.